Hey everybody, this is Rolly Platt. I am a harmonica player, have done much studio work and live playing. I'm in the process of writing a book on the subject, and you are listening to Talking Blues with Mako.
Okay, so I want to start off by saying that Rolly and I had a conversation back in 2017 about his musical journey up to that point. You can find it on episode 59 from the Talking Blues podcast website, where we talk about growing up with wild animals and his first job working the ring toss, talking about you learning the harmonica and also becoming a professional musician and deciding to take another path and becoming a graphic designer and then finding the joy in music again. And here we are 7 years later, and you've been up to a few more things.
I'm trying to find out what I'm good at.
Okay, so before we get into your writing, a few years ago you decided to create this thing called the Harp Wah. Tell me how that happened.
Well, let's hear it first, I think would be a good idea.
All right.
So all it is it's a cup basically that I'm playing into, and I hold in my hand and it resonates the sound, and I'm sort of up opening and closing my hand on it to get that wah-wah kind of muted effect. The sound isn't anything new. Most harmonica players are aware of, as I was when I was young, that you can pick up a glass or a cup or a can or any kind of resonating object and play into it and get kind of a funky sound. And you know, it was something that was done once in a while. It was almost like a party trick,
right?
Where you'd, hey, play into a glass, you know, and you do that for a few notes or whatever. And I've seen players who are actually really good at it, Kim Wilson, Carlos DeHonko, do it as a kind of a feature on stage, but it kind of always seemed like a one trick, you know, like I said, a little party trick kind of thing that people use. And I kind of saw the potential of it as using it like a trumpet player might use a trumpet mute, where you pick it up for certain tunes, only on occasion. It's not meant as a sound all the time, because it's an effect. And I found it awkward using the cup. I was in the studio with Wayne Buttery, doing that album with Wayne a few years ago, and was trying to do that on one song. And I was banging into the microphone in this expensive mic in the studio, which they were thrilled about. And I just, I don't want to, can I swear?
Of course you can swear.
I said, Jesus Christ, shit, God damn it. There's got to be a better way. And I knew there would be, or I knew there was, and I kind of came up with a prototype. And then there was harmonica players coming up to me while I was playing live using this, and they said, you should sell that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And, you know, sitting at home one day, and I went, I know nothing about manufacturing. I've never, you know, done anything like this. Let's invent a product. Let's write the patent for the product, a U.S. patent. And so anyway, it was that's what started the journey. And
so what was it, that moment in the studio recording and hitting the microphone with the glass that you thought, I need to investigate this further? Like, was that moment where you thought about it seriously?
I knew that there was easier ways to do it. But what I discovered through the process of sort of due diligence on this is there wasn't actually a product out there for sale for people, like a professional looking, you know, deal that you could buy that did this. You had to use a cup, a mug, a tin can. Joe Falisco is one of the greatest harmonica players on the planet, an authority on the instrument, and he uses a tin can which and it works great. but it you know, like a joke that, you know, you don't have to rummage around in the garbage for a can, you can use the heart bois, you know. I just wanted something. I just couldn't believe that somebody hadn't come up with a product that actually does this. And shockingly to me was that there wasn't. There was old versions of Hohner had an echo harp, I think it was called, or no, an echo harp, but maybe, I don't know. It had a little horn thing that attaches to the harmonica and sticks out the side that does basically the same thing. So the like I said, the idea isn't new, but it was something that nobody used because it was, you had to attach it to a harmonica, like a special harmonica, and it was just, you know, not practical. And anyway, that's how, you know, that's how it came about.
So you create this prototype. How easy is it to actually create a prototype for something like that?
It's very difficult, especially when you're not a fabricator, which is the problem for me. I'm making stuff. I'm a MacGyver. Like, I can make stuff out of nothing and probably out of necessity in my life. But I literally was going to the dollar store, going to, you know, anything I could that would give me a starting point, you know, looking, ordering weird materials that, you know, harden over time that I could mold and shape and, you know, and I'd get 3D printed versions of it through you know, guys that do 3D printing and experiment, you know, try different thicknesses, try different materials. So, you know, I'm a hack, right? I had to sort of figure it out without the proper methods. I just did it through scrounging and, you know, big bore of steel wherever I could to try and figure this out. But I was able to do the 3D, not the 3D version. I had somebody else do that, but I did the very detailed mock, like 2D mock-up of this product. The design, the thicknesses, all the tolerances, and how everything would, you know, the angles of everything, all that stuff. And then somebody did a 3D model for me. That was the start of it for the manufacturing.
Once you get this first prototype, what do you learn? Like, is it the sound that you wanted? Is it the feel that you wanted? Like,
It was a lot of both, right? So the sound, I knew the sound, as you know, I was pretty on track with that. You know, the holding it, the size, you know, all those elements are the things that you have to sort of tweak as you go.
Okay, so and the feel in terms of holding it and how it feels for the player to be holding this thing, was that an easy thing to kind of get used to or to determine?
It was, when I launched the actual final product, I was comfortable holding it. And I, you know, did a lot of testing with other players and things. And, you know, it was a bit big. So what I did was, after a year or so, is I'm sitting there holding a coffee cup in my hand, thinking, which I often do. And I look and I go, a handle. Oh. You know, there's an idea. And so I made, fancy that. So I designed a handle, same process. I had to do a rendering of this thing and, you know, and test it out and make it myself. And then, you know, a ridiculous amount of probably wasted time because I don't know what I'm doing. But I did it and got the handle the way I wanted it, so it fits exactly to the shape of the harp wob, et cetera, et cetera. And now that's standard equipment on the new harp wob.
I mean, I presume that there's a lot of different kinds of harmonicas out there and that there's just no way to standardize, or there's no one set size for everything, right?
Right. So you have to go general.
Okay.
I did. I mean, I chose to go general.
Okay, at one point you decide you're going to get a patent for this. I can't imagine that being an easy process.
It was not. It was not.
How long did it take for you to figure out, navigate your way through this and finally get the patent?
I'll tell you this. What the one thing that blew me away was I didn't bother, at least at this point, to do a Canadian one, but it was a U.S. patent I wanted. And it's not a design patent. It's a utility patent, which is much harder to get. The design patent, it could be, is just how something looks, And so you patent that, you know, version of it exactly. And they can't duplicate your design. But mine is an actual functional thing. And you're patenting an idea, right? This concept that does something. And I mean, if you think I know nothing about manufacturing, you're correct. Or didn't know anything about it. I know a lot more now. I knew nothing about the patent process, but what I was going to say is the people that work at the U.S. patent organization were incredibly helpful. I was blown away. Like, I was expecting them to go, you know, we're not here to, you know, like as if they're trying to stop you from getting a patent, right. You know, like throwing wrenches into your, all along the way, saying, no, that's not going to work. And no, you have to do this and you have to do that. I'd call them and I'd ask questions and I'd say, so, and then they'd make suggestions. They can't tell you what to write, but they would say, you know, what you need to be able to do is to, you know, basically convince somebody that this is what it does. But what it is, it's a legal argument. Like you're basically, you come up, the heart of it is, besides background and all these other things that you have to do, there you have to come up with, I think it's claims they're called, and you have to make a claim. If you make the claim too specific, then somebody could just change one little thing and say, no, it's different than yours. Mm. If you make it too broad, the patent office will say, no way, we're not giving you a patent on, you know, any kind of cupping sound, you know, or whatever it is. So it's literally wordsmithing to the nth degree, where you write one long sentence, you know, maybe, you know, what might be two sentences long normally, and you piece it together. It has to be one sentence for each one. But each word has to be not too specific, you know, and it has to be, you know, it's so, and you, it's like songwriting, you know, maybe worse. Like, it's like you're going back over it going, no, that's not the right word for it. And you Google words that are similar to synonym for this and that. And so, yeah.
Which was more difficult, the patent or getting the patent for this or getting the manufacturing for this product?
I don't know. They both took a long time. You know, the patent was interesting because I was really doing that 100% by myself. The manufacturing, I have a friend of the family that was generous in his business knowledge and helped me kind of deal with the people involved in that, because I didn't know enough about that end of things. That's for sure.
Was there a moment where you thought, oh, I don't know if this is worth doing?
Yes.
Were there many moments?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a prototype that didn't work. Like, I got it in my hand, I paid for it and kind of rushed. I was anxious to get things done and I rushed it and I wasn't happy at all. It was not what I wanted. And partly my mistake, and I just learned through the process, don't do that, you know, you gotta get it right. And then, you know, your people around you are making suggestions and you're trying to, you know, explain why certain things work and certain things won't work. And so you know, there was lots of heated discussions with family members and whoever else was involved in it, you know, like not involved, but wanting to help. And it's frustrating because it was a complicated process, I guess.
And after doing all that and finally getting something in your hand, you still have no idea what kind of, how it will be received and what kind of market this thing will have.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you go about, I know that harmonica players tend to, well, people who like harmonicas tend to hang out with one another. There's a following, there's a network.
There's a reason for that. There's a reason.
What would that reason be?
No one else will hang out with us. So.
No, but I mean, obviously, you know, somebody like yourself who has a name, who knows a lot of harmonica players. I mean, you have no idea how many people would be interested in this.
No, but the interesting thing was, I mean, it's all relative, but, you know, I know lots of people, or I did know lots of people, but I had almost no online presence when I tackled this. So I come out of it with this product that I'm going to launch now. and I have several problems to solve. One is it's kind of tied to me because I made it and I'm using it and I'm trying to explain to other people why you might want to consider this. But my online profile grew, thankfully. This was a byproduct I wasn't expecting, not at all. But my profile as a player, I was sort of establishing myself as a person and online in that world. Because I just didn't do that before. I didn't make videos. I wasn't promoting myself. I wasn't posting videos of me playing, like, very rarely. But I also had to, the toughest part was, here's this product. And it's an idea that is sort of, you're telling people that you're hoping to convince people that it's something they might benefit from. And of course, the internet's a wonderful place. and everybody has an opinion and everybody has a soapbox, and without repercussions. So basically they can say whatever they want. It was actually extremely well received, which was amazing. But it was that fine line of, you can do that with your hands. I don't need no gadget like that. And it's a gimmick and it's a fad and it's a this and it's a that, So you get a bit of that.
Right.
It was honestly, it was, like I said, I was very surprised, 95% good feedback on it. So, I mean, that was a relief, but it was a very, like I said, I didn't have the clout or the reputation or whatever you want to call it online to be able to say, hey, I'm telling you, this is good. I'm so-and-so. Whether I'm good or not is irrelevant. They don't know who I am. People didn't know who I was in general. I had a kind of a small circle of people that knew me back then. Now it's a little different, which is kind of cool.
But did you have in your head a goal or a mark that you wanted to reach with this? I have no idea. You manufacture these things. I don't even know how many you actually create initially in the first run. But do you have an idea of how many you would like to sell? Or was there an idea as to what you would have constituted as success or...
This is why nobody hires me to run their company. But it's like, I just don't want to fail. I want to be able to, recoup my money. Like, that's a big part of it. And it was very expensive to do this. So you're investing a ton of money, and never mind my time or anything else, but just a ton of money into this idea, hoping that, yes, it's going to work. But I didn't have, I wanted to take it as far as it could go. That was my goal. I don't know, I don't get what the point is of making those sort of goals. Like, until you put it out there, you don't know if it's a possibility anyway. I want to take it as far as I can or I could. That was the goal.
Okay. But
again, that's why they don't hire me.
No, but I wondered if there was a point where you thought, wow, I sold that many units, I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was looking at each other, my wife and my family and stuff, of, are you kidding? This is amazing. People are buying it. Before I even had it in my hand to sell, I had orders, hundreds of orders of pre-orders on this.
Wow.
And which is what's happening with this book as well. It's very encouraging when that starts happening and it kind of has its own momentum. You kind of just sit back and hope for the best. Be like songwriting and how well is it doing on the charts? You just got to put it out there and see what happens, and then react in real time. I'm monitoring social media, 24/7, and trying to I take great pride, or not pride, but make a great effort to respond to every question and every comment that I can online. And people ask a question, I'll get back to them right away, all that stuff. And that's all part of hopefully what why people have a little bit of respect for me now.
I wonder if you were to look at the things that you did in order to promote this, what was it, the playing, the video of you playing, that would have been the most effective way of getting the word out, or was did you get other musicians to play? What do you think was part of this success?
Yeah, definitely the fact that, which was the whole point, if I didn't play harmonica and I came up with this product, I'd have a hell of a hill to climb trying to promote it. Like, no, trust me, it's good. I can't play it, but yeah, me demonstrating it, because it, you know, I am comfortable with it, and I'm sure, you know, I know for anything you see online, there's lots of things I see the guy's amazing at, this new harmonica they've made, you know, and it's the guy's been practicing at it for 6 months. Of course it sounds good, but it shows the potential of anything, right? Just like golf clubs or anything else, like you watch guys that are really good, and hopefully that sells the product. So my own videos, definitely. I also had some great friends that I knew in the business, or a few people I knew in the business that were very well known harp players. Jason Ritchie for one, Jerry Fierro, but also other people that took it upon themselves to either buy it or I'd give them one if I ran into them at spa or somewhere like that. But they would do a video on it, you know, and these guys are amazing players. And that was, you know, to me, it, first of all, I mean, I'm always, you know, anything I can use to promote it, I will. But honestly, that's not what's, I'm not doing that for the money. Like, I need to do that to keep the product going. But it's, I'm thrilled that Jason plays it. You know, I'm thrilled that these other guys use it and stuff. I'm like a little kid. Like, I can't believe so and so is using this. You know, like that's the joy for me, and that was the reward in doing this whole thing. I wasn't expecting to get rich. I'm not doing this book for the same reason. I'm not expecting to get rich. It's a challenge. It's a joy doing it. It's a cool thing to sort of have. Once it's done, not so much when you're in it, that you sit back and go, I did that, you know, that's nice. And someone else appreciates it or likes it. You know, that's why we play music. Same reason.
Okay. So I want to get to your book, but before we get to your book, you said that there was a second version that had a handle with a harp wire. Do you see other potential things? Like, is there other things that are going to come out of this, or?
Lights. I'm going to put lights all around it. And let's see what else. Remote control. Well, here's something funny. You mentioned this literally an hour ago. I was online and I saw somebody who has, and I'm going to be meeting him soon. He took the harpoir and customized it to be an electric, like put a microphone inside it, a jack for your mic, like for your cord, and a volume knob, all built right in, like legitimately built into this thing with a microphone inside it. And you plug it into your amp and now you can play the harpoir using the open and close thing, which I was kind of skeptical because the mic's actually inside it, but it still has quite an effect. But you get this dirty sound, like a amplified harmonica. So, yeah.
So it's still...
What was the question?
Well, I just wondered if there were other things that are coming out of it. I mean, that sounds like one possibility, but did you also think about any other possibilities?
I've thought of a million other possibilities, and I don't want to say, I'm not going to bother with any of them, but at this point, and that tied into the kind of the decision to do the book, is... You know, do I want to continue on this one idea, or do I want to try something new? So I kind of, you know, in my mind, I haven't put the idea out of my head. I just haven't come up with anything that's like, that's it. You know, why didn't I think of that before? A handle. You know, nothing as brilliant as the handle. You know, if I can't top the handle, I don't even want to touch it. You know?
All right. So let's talk about the book. I'm curious because we spoke a number of months ago. And you had just, I think it was still early stages, but you were telling me about this idea. Tell me about how the idea of this book came along, or what made you decide that you want to try writing a book?
I think it was a combination of things. I've actually, strangely, it's only been about 7 or 8 months since the idea came about, but it's probably drawing from things that have been in my head over the last few years. We were talking before the interview about my CD and reflecting on that. Would you ever do another one? One of the things I've been observing, and probably like every other musician, is what's the state of the music business these days with trying to sell, you know, record a CD and sell your CD. They're not even making CD players anymore. Like, I mean, it's a scary, bit of a scary scene for smaller musicians, you know, smaller artists. Like the process of, never mind the work involved, but the process of recording a CD of any scale, you know, full band, is very expensive, and to do a quality job, and then you've got to manufacture the CDs or whatever, and now it's getting harder and harder to sell them. That's my point. Is, you know, I would. I don't want to touch on the CD thing because we might, maybe we'll talk about that a little more, but the idea of the book was, you know, like always in my head was, what else can someone do? You know, like when you do perform live, what can you offer? You can sell t-shirts. Yeah. You know, but what else can you do? And it wasn't like I was trying specifically to think of a product that I could sell, but that was always in the back of my head of, you know, what, where do I go in the music business here, you know, as far as a live performer? And that question was always there. Do I do another CD? Well, I wouldn't do another CD, I don't think, unless I suddenly, a bunch of money was dropped on me, because unless I had a game plan to, you know, tour with it or to do something with that, like take the show on the road type of thing, then that would make sense. But if you're not doing that, it's a lot of money, a lot of effort to put out there just for the sake of, you know, you're in a little bit of a vacuum with your own music and then giving it away on Spotify.
Right. But can I ask that, you know, I know that we talked about how much that album, the solo album, meant to you, and also in the process of creating, and in your case, singing a little bit. The idea of creating new music, is that something that, whether you recorded for a CD or not, is that something you're actively doing, or something that's still something that you do?
Well, yes and no. But what I discovered, get back to your first question about the book, is once I started in on the book idea, I'm actually, and this, I wasn't expecting this, is I am actually getting at least as much satisfaction out of this book writing than I got out of my CD, but they're very similar. It's, I've always felt, and I realize this as sort of as I'm doing this book, I always felt as a, I remember even playing somewhere, it was probably at Albert's Hall or something with Dutchie or some situation. And I remember sort of thinking while I'm on stage, people are reacting to my playing. They hear me play harmonica and they're reacting very positively, and it's great, and it's always been that way. It's very wonderful to have that, but they're not seeing me. They just hear me playing. I'm the guy that plays, and so they don't hear my thoughts. They don't hear my voice. It sounds, might sound weird. Maybe I've been writing the book too long, too close to the computer screen for too many months. But it, as far as your personal expression, the music only—it's a great thing, but it's only that, right? It's an audible thing. Whereas the book, what was interesting is this book talks about how I approach playing. So there's the musicality kind of thing to it as well. That was, you know, you got to scratch your brain. How do I explain this? How do I approach these things and how to word it? But then talking about other things that are more personal, you know, how things that happened on the road, things that happened when I was young, like the ring toss. That's one of the stories that's in there, you know, that type of thing. And that's very revealing, and it feels really, really good when you get it so that it sounds right on paper. Like, it's very satisfying. And that's, so for me, this is almost a great marriage of, I can play and I have this written version of, you know, a little more of who I am, you know, besides, you know, what I can play, if that makes any sense.
It does. But I just, you know, obviously this is your first book. You think to yourself, yeah, it would be kind of nice to talk about my life, talk about how I approach playing, talk about what I think about when I'm playing. But then to actually sit down and document that, to start writing, what was that process like?
Well, I had been collecting, first of all, I like telling stories and I like listening to stories. I love, ask anybody, you know, musician friends of mine. I love when we all get together, we're in a dressing room or out for dinner or wherever we are, and we're sitting around and somebody starts telling some story that just happened. And then the other person jumps in, oh man, I was with so-and-so last week, and everybody crowds in and you're listening. I love that stuff, right? And I've got, and sort of, I think our family, my family is a bit, you know, we're all like that, the storytellers. And so I remembered stuff from, I hung on to these stories from years ago because I knew they made good stories and I'd tell them. So I'm always telling these stories and things. So I made, you know, kind of kept a record of these things. And so that was part of the process of just, you know, writing down all the things that I wanted to talk about, including I had to go through sort of on the music end of things, what are the subjects that I think would be most interesting or had most impact on me. And that was the starting process for the framework for it. And then, you know, individually, some were easy, you know, or at least easier because there were events that I had, you know, talked about before or told stories on before. And other times, other things in the book were things I'd never actually put into words. And you gotta, you know, that's where, but it, like I said, I can't describe to you how good it feels to when it comes together, you know, or you feel like it comes together. I mean, somebody else may read this and go, really? It sucks. Rollyplot sucks. He's an idiot.
But so the idea that it was an enjoyable process, that happened very quickly in the process of writing?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, I realized I'm not a writer. And I guess technically I'm an author now, or I will be soon. But I'm not trying to tell people I'm a writer. I'm a storyteller and these are my stories, you know, kind of thing. Like, that's what I feel like, because I know the difference, and I know the difference in every field, that somebody that just, you know, attempts to do this and can pull it off compared to, you know, Bob Dylan is a singer, but there's singers, you know, if you know what I mean. Yes. And hopefully Bob might agree on that. It's there's people that can convey their message and convey in brilliantly in very simple ways. And then there's people that are highly skilled at that task. And I'm the first one.
But okay. So we talked about the idea of you sharing your stories about what you've gone through. You've also talked about what you're thinking about when you play, how you approach playing. Who's this book, ideally in your mind, who's this book for? Who is your audience, or who is your ideal audience that you're writing for?
I would say it's a blend of two things. It's for harmonica players or students of the harmonica in particular, like that would be an obvious. But the subjects on that are more harmonica specific are, most of the ideas that I'm talking about and concepts I'm talking about apply to all instruments. And beyond that, even like on a broad stroke, like the creative process and how you look at stuff can easily be translated into other creative areas, which I mentioned in there as well. That's how I kind of see things, is I see the parallels between graphic design through or in music and movie making and all those things. So that's the, you know, the core audience. But I didn't want to make a book that was just talking about harmonica, because I start to doze off. And I got, there's been so many crazy, funny, you know, interesting to me things that have that I've been a part of over the years, that it would be just, it would be an injustice not to include those in there. So I've tried to weave those in. So it's an interesting read for anybody that's kind of interested in, you know, behind the scenes of an actual working musician, what that can be, at least when I was doing it on the road and all that. And in the studio scene, that's another area that people don't really know that much about. It's not quite like it is on TV. And like I said, for harmonica players, or and possibly, you know, I think there's enough interesting stuff in there that even if you don't play harmonica, you will really enjoy the book. How about that?
Sure. Tell me what the title of the book is.
It is No Seriously, I Play Harmonica.
And for those who are interested in getting it, how do they go about doing so?
I will have it in my hot little hands within about, I'm going to say about 6 weeks. But I am taking pre-sales through my website, which is harmonicamute.com. The name is from the harmonica, from the harpois, but it's harmonicamute.com. You'll see in the main menu the pre-order for the book. Yeah.
Okay, so going through this process, not knowing that you're a writer, thinking, well, maybe I'll write a book, to actually almost completing it, 6 weeks away. And when we say 6 weeks away, we're probably looking at middle of June 2024.
Okay. I want it done next week.
You'd have to get it printed and stuff. But tell me about what you've learned from the whole process about yourself.
I'm really pleased. Like I said, I'm really pleased. I've discovered what I mentioned there, the joy in creatively expressing, not just expressing, but creatively expressing ideas. Like, how do you explain improvising, on any instrument? You know, what are you doing? Are you just making stuff up? You know, like, are you, how do you approach that? So on a, having to explain the process, break down the process, it's not a mechanical sort of process. You have to do this, then you do that. You know, so I just talk about, I kind of go through what my own ideas and there's some logic to it, but it's not all logic, but there's definitely a lot of logic involved in it, or you start to see the logic in things. And that's one of the things that I talk about in any field. What seems like random creativity, that you go, wow, that guy's so creative, that comedian is so funny, like he just comes up with these things, and it's built on, what they're seeing is the tip of the iceberg, and it's built on hundreds and hundreds of hours and years of experimenting. If you get sick of anything in my book, is I'm going to say, you know, you got to experiment more, try things, make mistakes, explore, all those words, because it weaves through everything that I'm talking about. That's how I don't know what the best way is, but that's how I have done it. And you know, I think it's a lot of things that touch me, if I read a book on somebody or I'm watching an interview with somebody, is when I hear things that they do that I go, Jesus, I've been doing that for years. Like I thought of that myself. Like I've always thought that was a good way to look at it, or a good way to approach it. But you hear some famous actor talking about his method, and it's the same. And it's reassuring to me to hear that, it instead of just me guessing it, is that a good way? I don't know. But then you find out everybody, that's great, does it that way. And you go, oh, all right, I know what I'm doing. So it's a lot of, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of that in it, I think, but that's valid to me. That's hugely important to identify with how other people do things and see it in your own playing or your own approach to things.
It's interesting when you talk about experiment. I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but the fact that, you know, you started off as a musician and that's what you, at one point or another, you decided, I'm going to be a professional musician, which led you to do a lot of live work and a lot of studio work. And then you decided, well, this isn't working for me right now. I'm going to take up graphic design. And you do this thing where you stop, you go to school, relearn or redefine who you are. Years later, you write a book or, you know, you create this thing called the Harpoir. It's interesting how you've had all these different lives and that you've kind of experimented, right? Because you're taking a chance every time you make a shift.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, as far as the music and the graphic design had a lot of creativity in it.
Right.
You know, like that's what drew me to it probably more than anything. You know, some interest definitely in the business side, end of it. But then you realize when you're doing it at higher level projects, at least, and you're working for a client or big, you know, sometimes big clients, is really it's a job. Like, I mean, it's a rewarding job when you're done, but you're under the gun to produce, you know, to come up with stuff. So it's like I said, there's creativity in it, but it's really problem solving is what I always say I did. And you become a psychiatrist with your clients and all that as well on the side. You're all these things, right? The playing is my basic form of therapy. You know, that's my basic thing, right? That I can do naturally. And I knew that while I was doing the graphic design, that's what I did. The graphic design was something I worked at and worked hard to get the skills to do it, but playing came easy. Playing is a natural thing for me that I, you know, I still have to work at, but it's my happy place. Like that's where I don't worry when I get up on stage that I'm going to screw up. You know, I can pull it off. I'm pretty confident, even if I, you know, some things are a bit more of a challenge in certain situations, for sure. Very much in some situations, but in general, I can just walk on and do my thing and do it as hard as I can and have people come up and pat me on the back when I'm done. I never got that in graphic design. Nobody walked up and said, oh man. I mean, that's not true. I did get a bit of that, but it's, you know, people that knew me more than anything, but it's not like music, put it that way. And the book is, like I said, I have no idea. So it's a little, you know, I'm putting it out there is maybe it's going to fall flat in its face, but you know, I think there's enough, I've gotten enough feedback from people of me even just telling them, I talked to my friend Dave Murphy a couple of days ago and he was in on some of these stories, actually one of the closing stories he was a big part of. And, that one was more of a touching kind of neat little story to end the book with, but there was another one with Ronnie Hawkins, a couple with Ronnie where I met Dave, and he was in tears laughing, like the two of us. I mean, part of it is just remembering the craziness of it all, but just because I remember all that. Dave didn't remember a lot of these things. I was actually surprised. But I'm reading it out to Dave, you know, and he's, you know, he could barely hear me because he's laughing so hard. But anyway, I've gotten, you know, I got a good sense that there's definitely some funny stuff in this and some, you know, probably some things that people had no idea, like, really, you know, wow, you know, that's weird. Yeah, studio sessions and that were fly by the seat of your pants kind of situations. And,
well,
good and bad. Not good and bad, but good and interesting.
But it's great that you keep experimenting, you know, like that you're willing to, you know, like when you did the Harpoir, you could have lost everything or you could have lost a lot of money, but you're willing to give it a try and it paid off. And, you know, it's like
I'm improvising. I mean, but it's true. Like you mentioned that that, you know, experimenting, I'm improvising, and I discovered that, you know, I think that's what I do best is improvise off the cuff when I'm playing. Don't ask me to memorize something. I'm not particularly good at that. I know people that are much better at that than I am, but give me something and say, just, you know, do what you feel in it, you know, or musically. And I'm very comfortable. That's my happy place. But I've discovered through doing a few little, there was a show I did with Lance Anderson where the host of this concert series asked me to open. I was playing with Lance, but he asked me to open for myself, basically, which was a new one for me. But I did a half hour set by myself, just standing in front of a microphone. I had a couple of backing tracks and I was talking about harmonica and telling, and I was ad-libbing. I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about, but I just kind of went off on these little tangents and things, and it went over really well. That was also one of those little things, light bulbs that went off in my head about the book, that I realized I can do that. And teaching one-on-one and doing my workshops online, these two-hour workshops, or doing them in person on occasion, has shown me that I can do that. I can think on my feet, and that feels good. I mean, and I, like I said, there's what I'm not good at. If you give me a script, I'm terrible. But let me just tell me what the gist is, and let me go. I'm okay with that. And that's kind of what this idea with the book is, I think.
Okay, once again, tell me the website for the book.
HarmonicaMute.com, all one word.
Great.
Mute, like trumpet mute.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to reading this. Hopefully it'll be done soon. And yes. I definitely want to check it out. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it.
You think you'd be sick of me by now, but...
That is impossible. And we will be talking to one another again when you work on your next project, or the next two projects, for sure. So thanks, Wally. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Marco. Good talking to you.